As I contemplated the arrival of a new year, I spent some time wondering what words would be most helpful, most meaningful, most encouraging for us all to hear. Because we're going to need courage in 2024. And I realize there are no words more helpful to us today than words spoken 2,000 years ago, words spoken as promises. So many promises have been made in the course of human history. Most did not stand the test of time, because the promises died with the people that gave them, and they decayed faster than the paper they were written on. But there are promises that have stood the test of time, for they are timeless. They say a promise is only as good as the person who makes it. The promises of Jesus are as eternal and faithful as he is. He gave us these promises for a reason. He knew we would need many great and precious promises to get us through this life with our faith intact. He never expected or even intended that we should live without them. He made sure these promises were written down, and he's preserved them for 2,000 years. Jesus wants us to be a promise-filled people. Proverbs 29:18 tells us, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." The promises of Jesus are our vision. By his promises, he keeps our hearts strong, our minds clear, our hopes vibrant, our joys abundant, our direction heavenward. The promises of Jesus have the proven power to calm our fears, enliven our hearts, inflame our love, and diminish our sadness. They can make even bitter days sweet, and sweet days even sweeter. They are true medicine for the soul. In the best of times, they are a stabilizing and grounding force. In the worst of times, they're a lifeline. Now, this is not hyperbole. If anything, it's the opposite. I'm understating the wonder of his promises simply because words fall short. The promises of Jesus have conquered kingdoms, changed the course of nations, transformed some of the least likely places on earth, and brought light to even the darkest of hearts. The promises of Jesus have done this. And while saints and angels alike rejoice in these mighty promises, demons tremble at them because they have power. Real power. They have the very authority of the promise maker, and there's a promise suited to every situation. At different times in our lives, one promise will more perfectly fit our situation than others. Some are general promises that apply to all of his followers all the time. Others have very specific conditions. So whatever promise or promises meet us in our need today, let us take them to heart. These are promises we can live by, promises we can live on, and he gave them to us out of love. Each promise is a love note in itself, and we all like love notes. Shouldn't this compel us to study them? But now, where to start? There are so many. There are many promises very well suited for us when we first believe, promises that Jesus wants us to know when we first set out to follow him. Promises like John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The promise of eternal life, not just eternal existence, but eternal life, eternal youth, eternal health, eternal joy. A little cogitating on that promise will put a spring in our step. How about John 8:32? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Or this one, John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Or how about John 6:37? All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. In theology, that's a verse that describes the eternal security that we have in Jesus. Or there's Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Even those of us who've been believers for many years never get tired of hearing promises like these. What these promises all have in common is that they are foundational promises that have radically changed people and even nations. They were life to us when we first believed, but they never lose their power. And there are other promises, ones we can depend on day by day to help us live victorious Christian lives. Promises like John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There is a peace that can reign in our heart, though it seems all the powers of hell themselves are arrayed against us. The darkness is strong, but his promises are stronger. Here's another like it, John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. The promise implied is that as we lean on him, especially in times of trouble, we will overcome just as he. He knows how to overcome the world because he did it. And he will grant us his overcoming spirit. What about when we fear our good works and acts of kindness to other believers are going unnoticed or unrewarded by God? Well, listen to this. Matthew 10:42. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. I never get tired of hearing the next one. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. That's a wonderful promise. Jesus invites us to come to him with our burdens, our weariness, our guilt, our difficulties, our failures, our sorrows, and he will receive us. No, not only will he receive us, he delights to receive us, and he promises to give us rest. Oh, here's another great comfort. Matthew 28:20. Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. No matter what befalls us, no matter who leaves us or is taken from us, there is one who will never leave us. One who cannot ever be taken from us. He is with us, and he is with us always, and he will be with us evermore. There are also other promises that are most precious when we are nearer our journey's end. Promises like John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. We won't be homeless in the life to come. Jesus has gone ahead of us. In fact, The wording suggests that he went ahead of us for the very purpose of preparing a place for us, a place in his Father's house. And we're not left to find the way to this house on our own, for he has another promise right alongside the last one. He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." We don't have to know where it is or how to get there. He promises to come for us and lead us there himself. But there's more. Verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." It's the same promise he just gave, but with extra reassuring words. "I will not leave you. I will come to you." This should take care of any doubts remaining. Isn't that what we fear as we contemplate leaving this world for the next, to enter into eternity alone, to be left as orphans? Jesus says, "This can't happen. This can't ever happen." After he spells out many promises, he says, John 15:11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete." Jesus wants us to have joy, not just a bit of it. He wants that joy to be full. And he's given us the secret of this joy. It is in these things he's spoken to us. We need to remember these things. These things promised by Jesus. But when we lose sight of these promises or mistrust them, we become fearful, confused, even despondent. And despondency is one of the devil's best friends. The hard work is accomplished by the promises themselves, or more accurately, by the promise maker himself. But there is one essential ingredient that must be added to the promises for them to be effectual for us. God likes to partner with his people. He does the heavy lifting, but our contribution is essential. What does God want us to contribute? It's a little thing called faith. God's promises must be believed to be effectual. For us, anyway. That's the thing about promises. It's our job as followers of Jesus to believe these promises and to believe them to the end. It's perhaps our most important struggle in this life. From that first temptation in the garden, the serpent said, "Did God really say that?" And he planted a thought in the mind of Eve that she should doubt the word of God. That same struggle has been going on for thousands of years, whether or not we're going to believe God's promises. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9. "If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all." Faith is the issue. It is on this battleground that our mettle will be tested. There's a saying taken from military warfare: "Is that a hill worth dying on?" Well, faith is a hill worth dying on. It's that important. The Apostle Peter, in his first chapter of his first epistle, talks about our faith being more precious than gold. Likewise, Hebrews 10:35 says, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded." There are innumerable rewards for faith, if that faith is in Jesus. But there are no rewards for mistrust and unbelief. And the promises of God are our faith's foundation and support. They are the foundation and the fuel of our faith. But our personal faith in these promises is the match that ignites the fuel. The promises are always there. They're always true. But they don't do us any good until we believe them. When our little faith meets his great promises, something wonderful happens. There is a holy combustion that takes place in heavenly places, something like a chemical reaction that happens in the spiritual realm. It's a personal thing. When we trust the promises of Jesus, our hearts draw near to him, and he draws near to us in love. There is a beauty to it, a spiritual loveliness. Loving trust makes our relationship with Jesus beautiful. And when our relationship with Jesus is beautiful, our lives and everything about them are beautiful. So we should know these and other promises by heart, so that when the hour of trial comes, we have them like arrows in our quiver to shoot down all our gloomy thoughts, all our pestering doubts, all our menacing terrors, all the dark forebodings that the evil one can throw at us. Through faith, the promises of Jesus will gain us the victory over sin and hell and life and death. His promises will carry us through. They will carry us through all the troubles of this life, and they will carry us clear through to the life to come. This earth may explode. This sun may burn itself out. But the promises of Jesus will live on through endless ages. They will never, never, never fail us. So we must not fail them. We must hold fast the promises and hold them fast to the end, because his promises are like an unlit fire, and our faith is the match that lights the fire that gives light to the world. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.